So what is it like to fly a Huey helicopter?
It is different. One of the things that fixed-wing drivers learn real quick is a fixed-wing aircraft is easy to fly. It's nowhere near the level of intensity of a helicopter. A fixed-wing aircraft, you can trim it up, take your hands off the controls, and pretty well it's stable enough to stay where you put it. A helicopter's not like that because it is constantly trying to turn over on you. And so you fly it 100% of the time. Anytime you move one of the controls, the resulting reaction throughout the dynamic system means that you're going to have to adjust another control. For example, in a hover, when I pull up on the collective to go up, that increases the torque and the fuselage starts to turn. In order to counteract that, I have to push on the pedal for the anti-torque rotor to correct for that. Well, that creates a side thrust. Now I have to move the stick in one direction or another to keep it from translating laterally.
Oh, geez.
And when you do that, then you upset the thrust, the downward thrust of the rotor, and so you have to make another adjustment. So you're constantly sitting there making minor adjustments to all of the flight controls to hold it in a stable hover.
It really is a ballet on all of the controls.
It is. And getting that skill to where you do it automatically by instinct takes several hours of actually getting out there and doing it. When you first start flying helicopters, I couldn't hover within a football field.
Oh, geez.
I was just going all over the place. And the instructor, a very brave man, just sat there and said, hang on, you'll get it, you'll get it. So a couple of sessions in, finally one day I picked it up to hover and it just stayed there.
It finally clicked.
Yep. The helicopter learned how to hover me.
I imagine that was quite a sweat festival learning that.
Oh, it absolutely was. It's very stressful, and it's awful hard for a person to relax, but that is the key to it. If you let yourself relax and let your instincts take over, then it becomes a lot easier. But anytime you're sitting there consciously thinking, I've got to move this or I've got to move that, then you start over-controlling and you get into what are called pilot-induced oscillations, PIO.
PIO, yeah.
Right.
And then the helicopter does all kinds of things you don't want it to do.
Exactly. Yeah. And so you wind up having to correct for stuff that you created, not the helicopter.
I have a few hours on radio control model helicopters, and I can sympathize with you. Trying to control one of those is difficult at best.
That's interesting. You talk about radio control helicopters. I can't fly a radio control plane. And the reason is I want to be in the aircraft looking in the direction that I'm flying. For me to detach myself and be out on the ground and look at that and visualize what the aircraft's got to do and how to move the controls became a difficult thing for me to do. I just sort of had to give it up. You get in the aircraft and fly the aircraft itself, it's easy.
Mm-hmm.
But flying from a different perspective, sitting on the ground watching the aircraft go around, for me, was a very difficult task. And so, actually, I think it's harder to fly the RC aircraft than the real thing.
There is a transition between the two, that's for sure. I did it with a radio control model helicopter. I got an hour in an Enstrom TC, and I wasn't all over the football field hovering it, but I kept it within 90 degrees of heading and 6 feet of the liftoff point, which I thought was amazing.
That is phenomenal.
That is. It was a wonderful experience because the Enstrom flew very much like the radio control helicopter. It would turn one way better than the other,
mm-hmm.
and there were the dynamics of it were pretty much as I knew it from RC flying.
Right.
Now, that does not qualify me to fly a Huey.
No, it'd take a little while.
Yeah, I would say it qualifies me to sit in the back, but that's about it.
Right.
I have enjoyed watching your helicopter here during the flight demonstration at this air show. It was very interesting. You did a demonstration yesterday of basic helicopter flying and everything, and there was a gentleman in the back, probably the crew chief, who waved very nicely at us. We're hoping that, once again, the crew chief will wave at us as well.
Oh, we'll make sure he does.
Please do. I know you can't take your hands off the controls because bad things would happen.
That's right.
You know, what is it? The old story is that I'm not going to go there because we're going to edit this part out because I've blown it.
Okay, that's all right.
So, last question here. I'm going to hit you with this. What was your best day in aviation?
My best day in aviation was the day I got my wings.
There you go. That's a good day.
There's nothing like it.
I'll bet you were walking on air.
Absolutely. Even though I was coming out of fixed wing school, I was at a hover without an aircraft beneath me.
I know the feeling. It's wonderful.
Absolutely.
Well, Cliff, thank you very much here for taking the time to talk to me here. I know you got a busy schedule. You still got a lot of checkouts to do on your aircraft here.
Right. We want to make sure everything's right, so when we take these folks around for their ride, that it's done with the utmost safety.
And I do appreciate that, because I'm going to be one of them.
Oh, absolutely. We'll try to give you a good ride.
Oh, I guarantee you will. It's going to be fun. You wouldn't happen to have an M60 laying around that I could swing out the door, would you?
Well, we didn't bring the most. In fact, we do have M60s that mount on the door gun mounts.
Nice.
A lot of the venues we go, but the other two aircraft with the mounts are at a different event, and this one does not have the mounts. For our Vietnam demonstration flights, when we do an air show and actually do about a 26-minute air assault demonstration with various aircraft in the mix, we have gas-mounted, gas-operated machine guns, so that as you come in on the assault, the door gunners are hammering away with the M60s.
Nice. That's got to be something special to watch.
Oh, absolutely. I hope you'll be able to see one of our shows. I think the one that's going to be closest to here is at Scott Air Force Base in September.
All right,
down in Illinois.
Well, I'll have to get on the website. What is your website?
Our website is www.armyav.com. armyav.org.
And you'll have the schedules and
the schedule is on there, a lot of information about our organization. And I encourage people to join us and become a part of this. We have members all around the country who, when we come to an event, converge. For example, three of our crew chiefs live within about 400 to 500 miles of here. They drove in to be part of this event.
Nice. Well, that's dedication.
And then there's all sorts of jobs to be done, from restoring the aircraft down to sweeping the floors. We even had a brigadier general retired one day, manning a broom, sweeping the hangar.
Wow.
There is no task too menial to do.
Please tell me you got pictures of that.
Oh, absolutely.
That's great.
General Brady is a gentleman, and he picked up the broom and helped along with everyone else.
He motivated people.
Right.
Just like a good leader should.
Absolutely.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking to Cliff McKeithen here from the Army Aviation Heritage Foundation. You're listening to EAA Radio.